Okay, this could be a rough one. I just ate. There's nothing I would like more right this minute than to take a nap. Well, there's one thing. I would like to take a nap with a cute little red-headed volleyball girl. Other than that, there's nothing I would like more than to take a nap right now. So we're going to see how the energy levels go. Because, damn, I'd like fall over in a food coma. Ugh, you could scream and shout, or you could go into a food coma.
Dig in your heels and hold on
tight. Yeah, nap time.
Either you are wrong, or I am right.
But even if I were in a food coma, I would still be right, and you would still be wrong. It just happens, even when I am unconscious. I'm still fucking smarter than you are. Because you're all running around going, they're at the government. Who would build roads? And nobody wants to hear about your fucking roads. I am the great one. I am the founder. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile that my intellect homes in on destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. It does not matter what kind of statist you are. You can be a right-wing statist, a left-wing statist, a homo statist, a cyber statist, a GLBTKKK statist. You can be a statheist. You can be a fucking anarcho-fucking communist, which there's no fucking such thing. You can be an anarcho-feminist. You can be an anarcho-sissy. It doesn't fucking matter. Speaking of anarcho-sissies, I saw some anarcho-sissies the other day on the interwebs, not in real life. And with commentary about, there's all these, what do they call them? And they called them anarcho-isolationist, and the point was, there's these anarchists out there who support building the wall. And it reminded me, and this is really difficult for people to understand, because they're stupid. I am an anarchist. I can talk all day long about how things should be, would be, could be in ANCAP a dice. Okay? I've said this before. In ANCAP a dice, you don't need borders around your country and you don't need walls. Because in ANCAP a dice, you don't have a country, so to speak. And in ANCAP a dice, you don't have government welfare. But we're not in ANCAP a dice. We are in a statist society. And in the context of a statist society, in the context of we're not going to eliminate welfare, in that context, yes, there should be a fucking wall. And these are two totally different worlds, and I understand how stupid people can't understand context. In ANCAP a dice, none of this is an issue. But in a statist society, I come to you and I say, our immigrant policy should be that there are no immigrants allowed. There should be none. And you say, well, what about none? None. Absolutely none. Well, but the social security system will collapse if we don't get more workers in here. Oh, gosh. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Aww. There should be no fucking, there should be nobody fucking coming into the country. People are born here, they can hang out. Everybody else, stay the fuck out. That is the great one's immigrant policy in a statist society. In ANCAP a dice, you don't have a problem because at the best you would have little city-states, nation-states, whatever, where everybody would voluntarily be there, and there would be no government, there would be no taxation. So if people showed up from someplace else and said, we want to live here, that would be fine, because there would be no government to take money and resources away from the people who already live there and give it to the people who are coming in. None of that has anything to do with what we're talking about today. What we are talking about today, what we're also talking about today that actually has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, is we're talking about the joy on my face as I was riding out this morning to go trail running. I'm on my bike and I'm going down the road there. I'm getting ready to turn off on the final stretch of paved highway before I get to the point where I get to the trailhead where I go trail running. There's all these fucking cars, all this traffic. I'm trying to make a left-hand turn, and I got traffic coming behind me like a motherfucker. I got traffic coming towards me like a motherfucker. And I'm looking at this shit. I'm going, what the fuck is going on? Why is there all this goddamn traffic? And then I remembered. I remembered that it was Monday morning. It was 7:30. And that this was all the people going to their cubicles and their jobs that they hate. And I thought, oh man, it's Monday morning. I'm riding my bicycle and I'm gonna go trail running. Oh God, my life is so fucking good. Have fun in your cubicles, motherfucker. Oh, you're making six figures and you have a BMW and you have a McMansion? Oh, good for you. Good for you. You're in a fucking cubicle. And when you die, you can't take any of that shit with you. So fuck you. All right, that also has nothing to do with the book ADHD Nation: Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic, written by Alan Schwartz. How am I doing? Now, all right, I was going to say we might wrap this book up today, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Once again, just throwing this out, I can recommend reading this book. It's a well-written book. It's very informative. I'm hitting highlights of things that really jumped out and made me want to fucking bang my head into a wall and just be like, Jesus Christ, how stupid can you people be? But this entire book is just filled with nonsense and bullshit. And, you know, once again, for all of you, it's science. ADHD is a disease. And all this other shit. This is a great book to put in front of these people and tell them to read it and then come back and tell you that ADHD is a fucking disease. It's not. It just fucking
is. Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? You don't make waves, so why should they? Studies show that 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. ODD is a real problem in our society, according to the DSM, the big book that lets psychiatrists know who's mentally ill and who's not. ODD is also known as libertitis, or inflammation.
I know who's mentally ill.
It's been a serious
people
problem
who voted for
Hillary
Clinton.
50 years. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority.
It's a one-question diagnosis. Did you vote for Hillary Clinton? If the answer is yes, you are mentally ill. Here's the follow-up. Here, just in case, like, if you don't think that diagnosis is official, here's the follow-up diagnosis. Are there more than two genders? Anyone says yes, they're an idiot. That's how you diagnose somebody is a fucking moron.
In severe cases, kids may be suspended from school and end up in jail for violating those all-important nanny laws. In extreme cases, they might even quote Ron Paul. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Compliacin reduces non-essential brain activity by 70%. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them.
Another Democrat voter, reducing brain activity by 70%.
This drug can even keep your kids off drugs. Unlike outdated
because
methods
the,
such
because
as
the drugs aren't addictive.
Compliacin works on the inside,
we
taking
about that
completely
in the previous podcast.
Out of the equation. Compliacin combines Thorazine, Ritalin, and 15 secret herbs and spices. It has all the effectiveness of a chemical straitjacket with none of the drooling. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
Sounds like a
Quit
fucking anarchist, man.
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Of course I believe everything I see on CNN.
Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. Compliacin from Pilfer.
Pilfer. We've got a pill for everything.
All right, we are on page 198. Seeking a more thorough consideration of which diagnosed children really had ADHD, the CDC interviewed a... Because this is the government. So the government is showing up to protect us now from the corporations. See, the government has showed up. The government is going to get to the bottom of the ADHD diagnosis. Oh, finally, throughout this entire book, I've been wondering when the government that all of you worship so much is going to show up to protect us from the corporations. Well, the government's here. Oh, praise Obama. Praise him. Praise the affirmative action president. Praise the half-black president. Praise the Messiah. He is going to close Guantanamo Bay. Oh, wait, he didn't do that, and he's not even president anymore. Oh, but it doesn't matter, because promises he made, they're not really... That was just stuff he said to get elected. It doesn't really... Those weren't real promises. But you see, when Obama said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, he was exempted from that promise by an ancient Southern tradition that he picked up. He had his fingers crossed. All right, so the government has now showed up to protect us from the evil corporations and the overdiagnosis and the overprescription of ADHD and related medications. Ah, praise the lords. Praise the gods of government. Praise the regulations. Praise the FDA. Praise the CDC. Because why the CDC is investigating ADHD? Oh, that's right, because it's a disease. Of course it is. Nobody can tell you the symptoms of ADHD, but it's a disease. Right? A disease has symptoms. That's how you know it's a disease. ADHD, we read it in the book here. I read it to you. When they asked, when the reporter, who was actually doing his fucking job, that's how you can tell this was a long time ago, when the reporter asked the fucking expert on ADHD, what are the symptoms that a child with ADHD displays, the expert couldn't answer the fucking question. That's because it's not a fucking disease. Seeking a more thorough consideration of which diagnosed children really had ADHD, the CDC interviewed a representative group of parents nationwide about their child's hyperactivity and inattentiveness to estimate whether or not they met the disorder's official criteria. Important things to notice here. Notice number one, they're talking to the parents. They're not actually talking to or observing the children. If you have a disease, let's say I have a disease, I have tuberculosis. The doctor does not diagnose my tuberculosis by talking to my parents. This should be, for intelligent people, a giveaway that ADHD is not a disease. To diagnose a disease, you generally... And by generally, I mean all the fucking time, need to examine the person who theoretically has the disease to determine if they have the disease or not. We're going to diagnose ADHD in children by talking to their parents. Second thing to notice is that they were going to estimate whether or not these children met the disorder's official criteria. They were not going to determine objectively yes or no if the children meet the criteria for ADHD. They're going to estimate based on talking to the parents about the parents' feelings. See, this is the Center for Disease Control. This is the government. They're protecting you. Ha! Oh my God. You people are so fucking dumb. You're so fucking dumb. Eventually published in 2007 by researchers at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, those data suggest that at most 8.7% of children had the condition, a rate close enough to the CDC's 7.8% of real-life diagnosis to seemingly vindicate how the ADHD system was operating. Moreover, only half of those 8.7% with real ADHD, as opposed to all the fake ADHD. So again, we're admitting that there's fake ADHD. Only half of those 8.7% with real ADHD had ever been diagnosed. The other half, millions of youngsters, were surely struggling without treatment. Drug makers rejoiced. Shire broadcast the findings in their marketing materials as peer-reviewed, indisputable, CDC-sanctioned proof that the problem with ADHD was not overdiagnosis, but, just as the experts had said all along, underdiagnosis. So you see, it was found that only 8.7% of children have real ADHD. The pharmaceutical corporations conclude that means not enough children have been diagnosed with ADHD. And thank you, CDC, for protecting us from the corporations. Because by God, without the CDC and the government, the corporations would just run wild down the street. And they would sell drugs to people who don't need those drugs. And they would fuck people's lives up because people would abuse those drugs. Oh, sure am glad the government is protecting me from this. Gosh. What went unnoticed then and ever since was that some of the alarming numbers elsewhere in that study's data set had been rather conveniently ignored. Whoa, hold on. Scientist, there's air quotes around that word, scientist and corporations conveniently ignoring information that isn't beneficial to them. Gosh, where has that ever happened before global warming? When have air quote scientist un air quote ever ignored information that wasn't beneficial to the political agenda they were pushing? Global warming, ozone hole. Interesting. Wow, this is fast. I can't believe this would happen. I just cannot believe corporations and the scientists on the payrolls of the corporations would ignore data that doesn't support them making more money. This is just unbelievable, because scientists are so pure and virginal, and they all believe in global warming, and they're all just wonderful, and they wear little bow ties, and they care so much about the Muslims and the women's, and they're all for equality, and every scientist knows that there's 342,700 different genders. There's a consensus on this. We're smashing the binary. First, 3.3% of children aged 8 to 15, or almost a million in that age group alone, were found to be taking ADHD medications despite not having diagnosis-worthy symptoms. Now, this was not necessarily some smoking gun. The whole point of ADHD kids taking medicine, the study authors noted quite reasonably, is to improve their behavior. So these prescriptions could once have been justified and simply be working as expected. But there remained a problem that went unaddressed. If those 3.3% had in fact been correct diagnosis, they would join the 8.7% of children still presenting diagnosis-worthy symptoms. That meant 12% of American kids would suddenly have ADHD, a completely indefensible figure that begged some explanation. It got none. In the end, anyone who would have cared to look deeper at this fact, and others lurking in the Cincinnati paper and elsewhere, would have had no choice but to realize that perhaps as many as 2 million children across America were taking stimulants for ADHD they did not have. But no one took the time to look. The CDC's next survey, released in 2010, raised the national estimate of ADHD diagnosis in children from 7.8% to 9.5%. The next one, only 3 years later, went up to 11%, more than twice what even the American Psychiatric Association's official manual said was proper. And yet, the situation was even far worse than those numbers indicated. A crude distinction in the conversions is roundly misdiagnosed. A crucial distinction in these conversations is roundly misunderstood not only by the ADHD supporters, but by many government health officials as well. It follows logically, unassailably, from experts' long-time and passionate contention that a person's ADHD is innate, something that, regardless of when it's diagnosed, has always been and will always be part of a person's inherent brain chemistry. The CDC's 11% came from the entire population of 56 million children who were aged 4 to 17. The problem is, in right now snapshots like these, most of the younger children hadn't reached the age, 10, 11, 15, at which their hardwired ADHD will become visible, recognized, and diagnosed. They must also count in the totals too, because what we truly want to ask is how many of these 56 million specific human beings will, at whatever point they become adults, be told they have the lifetime condition. This approach considers each child as a self-contained, evolving individual, which is, after all, the point of psychiatry itself. What happens to the numbers then? Also, let me take a moment to point out that when you see, when they sit here and they say, well, this was done of the entire population of 56 million children age 4 to 17. And how exactly was the entire population of 56 million children age 4 to 17, how were those 56 million children accessed and diagnosed for this study? The answer is they weren't. Somebody talked to a small sampling of children and then extrapolated this to the entire population. That's not science, that's guessing. The answer is shocking. The CDC's data unmistakably shows that 15% of all American children today, 1 in 7, now triple the APA's stated appropriate rate, will be diagnosed with ADHD. Among boys, the figure is a whopping 20%, or 1 in 5 nationwide. Because we have to tell people that 20% is 1 in 5 because some of the people reading this book aren't very smart. Math, I'm a liberal arts major. Wait, if 20% is 1 in 5? Well, of course 20% of boys have ADHD. Boys are broken. In many southern states, you know, down in the south where everybody's a racist, in many southern states like Arkansas, Kentucky, In South Carolina, almost 30% of boys get diagnosed. Most of them put on medication at some point. The data are so staggering that the New York Times article then revealed that appeared in the top right corner of the paper's front page, a spot usually reserved for wars and government corruption. Well, I would submit that putting 30% of boys on ADHD medication is in fact government corruption. But yet again, with these numbers reaching highs no one had ever imagined, the industry's level of denial somehow kept pace. The American Medical Association simply harumped, claiming the yes or no surveys, quote, overestimate true prevalence, unquote, of medical conditions. Dr. Sanjay Gattupa, CNN's brainy physician on call, flatly declared to Anderson Cooper, quote, there's not a lot of value in these studies, unquote. Well, wait a minute. If the studies don't have value, why were they done? And of course, if the studies would have shown what the ADHD people wanted them to show, well, we would have heard how amazingly valuable they are. Isn't it fascinating how science only has value when it reinforces your pre-existing ideas? Dr. Peter Jensen reappeared to say that, quote, single question surveys based on a yes or no parent report are notoriously inaccurate. You simply can't make scientific statements based on them, unquote. None of these commenters either recognized or admitted that the CDC's results had been validated by numerous other studies and thereby held far more truth than they preferred. The most obtuse response came from Dr. John Walkup of Weill Cornell Medical College in New York. What is it with New York? A prominent voice who has given 3 pages in child psychiatry's top journal to chime in on his findings. He delighted that the CDC had found that only 2/3 of diagnosed children were taking medication, creating, sure enough, a pattern of undertreatment of ADHD, not overtreatment. Roughly translated, diagnose as many kids as you want, just make sure they're medicated. But not all was lost, Dr. Walkup noticed. Those high numbers were actually good news. His conclusion? Quote, it appears that we are getting close, after more than 2 decades of advocacy, to identifying and treating a majority of children and adolescents with ADHD, unquote. No matter how many people are diagnosed with ADHD and medicated, there's always going to be all these people that we just aren't getting everyone. There's more children and adults out there who have ADHD and they're not getting the medication they need to get for the pharmaceutical corporations to make more money. Page 204, for those of you reading along. Wait, it did not go well. What didn't go well? Okay, I should back up to put some context on this. Having read in the Times about Keith Connor's growing distaste for the ADHD industry, reminder, Keith Connor is the scientist who, quote-unquote, discovered, diagnosed, identified ADHD in the first place. He's the guy who said that at most 5% of children have ADHD. And he's the guy who, when he saw diagnosis rates and medication rates of 10, 15, 20, 30%, he's the guy who said, this is bullshit. There's not that much fucking ADHD out there. He didn't say fucking. But he's the guy who called bullshit on all this. Having read in the Times about Keith Connor's growing distaste for the ADHD industry and realizing that the man lived less than an hour away in Durham, Sutton invited him to come and contribute some insight, to tell everyone what ADHD was and was not. Connors, aware that some of these Alamac kids might very well have been diagnosed at his Duke clinic, gladly accepted the invitation and drove west to the 10 a.m. meeting. Yeah, so Tim Sutton, he's a commissioner at Alamac County. That's the Alamac. Oh, here we go. I should read this. This is important. Set the scene a little bit more. Tim Sutton was a commissioner at Alamac County in the dead center of North Carolina. In many ways, Alamac could be any rural area in America. Cluster of spread out small towns whose best textile and manufacturing days are behind them and whose metropolis is Burlington, population 51,000. Residents aren't Andy and Opie Taylor, too, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but they like their church, they raise their children. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the important part. Almost 16% of North Carolina's children had been diagnosed with ADHD, leading the nation. Blah, blah, blah. Among the blah, blah, blah. Do the blah, blah, blah. Wait, where's the fucking... Blah, blah, blah. Among those of high school age, more than 20%... had been given the label, taking medication at some point, although further digging revealed that Alamac County's rates were probably a tick lower than the rest of North Carolina. They were still way too high. Sutton called a school superintendent from another part of the state to ask his reaction to these statistics. The superintendent grew increasingly unnerved as two of his own kids were currently on Adderall at their school's suggestion. If a school official could be pressured into this, what chance did the average family have? Sutton phoned the state's Board of Education and got stonewalled. So Sutton decided to flex his county commissioner muscle. In May 2014, he called a meeting of Alamac's school board to ask them questions directly in hopes of finally getting some answers. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. He invites Connors. The meeting. It did not go well. Oh, gee, imagine that. Sutton took the first floor and, in his best Southern gentleman, thanked the officials for their time and attention to the matter. He never accused the school system or teachers of pushing parents, at least not knowingly, but something, whatever it was leading to so many children in the community being diagnosed with ADHD, with the vast majority being put on stimulant medications. He wondered how any of this might result from subtle incentives from the state. Schools get extra funding for every child with a learning disability. Once again, guys, I go over this and 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 over this. When you reward failure, you get more failure. When you give schools more money for having children with learning disabilities, you will get more children with learning disabilities because that's what the schools are rewarded for. Okay, it's like with the police. I've explained this before. Why are the police incompetent? The police are incompetent because they get more money, they get more funding, they get new cars, they get more training, they get bigger guns if crime goes up. If crime goes down, the police can't get more money, they can't get more funding, they can't get new cars, they can't get bigger guns. If you want crime to go down, you only give the police money when there is no crime. If a crime occurs, you don't pay the police for that day. If you reward the police for allowing more crime to happen, you get more crime. When you reward the schools for having more learning disadvantaged students, you get more learning disadvantaged students. You get more of what you reward. This is why in the Articles of CLSology, it says, do not reward bad behavior. Schools get extra funding for every child with a learning disability, and teachers that care about the children. Teachers can receive raises and tenure when their classes score highly on standardized tests. Quote, I have a hard time believing that this many kids have a psychiatric disorder. When I talk with the parents, ADHD is coming out in every corner. It's almost like I'm at an ADHD convention. Unquote. After 20 minutes, the state officials responded. One questioned the purpose of the meeting itself because, after all, Almanac County's rates appeared lower than the North Carolina average. Oh, that's great. So if I go out and I rape a bunch of women in Fort Collins, but the rape rate in Fort Collins is still lower than the average rape rate for the state of Colorado, you can move along. There's nothing to see here. Listen to the logic. The rate of children diagnosed with ADHD in our county is lower than the diagnosis rate across the entire state. Therefore, there couldn't possibly be anything wrong. A different official questioned what all the fuss was for. His own son had been diagnosed with ADHD and the medication had really helped. Meanwhile, the Almanac superintendent, Lily Cox, a woman, said nothing, which for a woman is unusual. For actually, I would actually pay money to see a woman shut the fuck up. She spent most of the time checking and pecking on her two mobile devices, rarely even looking up. Right, because she doesn't give a fuck about the children's. She's on Facebook. She probably has an Instagram account. And she was checking Instagram to see how many people had liked her selfie. Because the children's. She didn't when Connor's phone finally spoke. More water. Not boozing. Water. Pure, beautiful tap water laced with fluoride put there by the communist to destroy our vital, or what is it? Destroy our nation's vitality? At Dr. Strangelove reference. If you have not seen the movie Dr. Strangelove, I recommend watching it. It's a pretty, and what's his face? Oh, God damn it. Is it George C. Scott? George C. Scott as the general is hilarious. Oh my God, it's so good. It's like, well, if the Russians attack and there's nuclear war, we'll have to go down in the bunkers and hunker down, you know? And the general, he's like, yeah, whatever. And then the scientist is like, yeah, we'll have to have, well, and then once everything's over, we'll have to repopulate the planet Earth. And so we're going to have 10 women for every man to repopulate the Earth. And the general perks up. He's like, whoa, what's this about 10 women for every man? Oh, man. I'd be like, Dr. Strangelove, can these 10 girls for every man, can they be volleyball girls? Can they be little volleyball chicks? Dude, 10 girls, that's two volleyball teams. Oh, man. Oh. I never thought of that. Oh, yes. I have two little volleyball teams all to my own to repopulate. Of course, the government built the bomb shelters. They probably fucked it up. Yeah, they forgot to put filters in the ventilation system to filter out the radioactivity, so all the fucking radioactive dust will come right down in there and kill all of us. Now, at least I'll die happy. I'll have my 10 volleyball girls. Okay, she, Lily Cox, the superintendent, she that cares about the children, she spent most of the time checking and pecking on her two mobile devices, rarely even looking up. She didn't when Connor finally spoke, either. He offered his history in the field and said that no community, let alone state, should have anything close to 1 in 5 teenagers diagnosed with ADHD. Quote, "That's pretty scary. There's no way." A vast proportion of kids on medication received an incorrect diagnosis, unquote. He laid a good deal of blame at the feet of the doctors who made swift and sloppy evaluations, but also questioned what role the school systems play. Quote, "Testing and funding is at stake, and nobody wants these kids dragging down the numbers. School systems have developed some secret process. Teachers have a way of talking to parents. And it's not just teachers either, it's school personnel. There's a roundabout system because the incentives are for the school system to deliver better test scores, more end-of-school graduation rates," unquote. When the superintendent was asked to look up from her cell phone and join the conversation, she refused to address what might be causing so many students in her district to be diagnosed with ADHD. Quote, "That sounds like a question for physicians because they write the prescriptions," unquote, she said. And why so many parents were going to their physicians in the first place? She huffed, quote, "That's a question for the parents," unquote. Was it of concern to her that this was happening? Quote, "Our responsibility is educating these children whether they're diagnosed or not," unquote. Her verbal gymnastics continued, growing so inane that Sutton realized the meeting had run its course. He had gotten nowhere with the people in charge of educating his community's youngsters. No explanations, no thought for doing better. He closed almost begging, quote, "Please stop it the best you can here locally. Please," unquote. I wonder how well begging works. I bet it doesn't. Everyone got up. Not one of the 5 school officials made small talk or even shook hands with Sutton or Connors. They all ducked out the room's back door, never to be heard from again. Because, of course, as you know, they care about the children's. The children's are the most important thing. But we're not going to discuss why so many children have the ADHD. We're not going to discuss the ADHD medication. We're not going to discuss the fact that the children with the ADHD result in the school getting more money. No, we're just going to pretend that we care about the children. 207. I'm not sure I believe my notes here. I figured it out. The great thing about my notes is that even I can't read them. It's like a secret code that can't be broken. Page 207. This is talking about some shit at some ADHD seminars, blah, blah, blah. Okay. A session devoted to the issue of college students abusing ADHD medication discussed a survey that found 30% of collegians had used them without a prescription. A figure that most people would find rather alarming. Ah, but, thankfully, the pharmaceutical corporations and the scientists and doctors on the payroll of the pharmaceutical corporations are there to put, much like CNN, the correct spin on this information. Now, once again, listen to what I am about to read, and then we're going to apply this to another situation, and you tell me if this holds water. But one speaker explained that some estimates have been as high as 60%. That's 60% of college students using ADHD medication without a prescription, okay? But the problem is really not so bad. Quote, based on 30% of college students are using ADHD medication without a prescription, okay? Listen to this. This is the quote from a woman. It doesn't say her name. I wish it did. It says she reassured the audience that only a woman can come up with this. Here we go. This is woman logic. You say, great one. Are you going to fucking read it or are you going to delay? Just shut up. This is like building up to an orgasm for me. This is woman. Once again, folks. Okay. Women should not be allowed to have jobs. Women should not be allowed to vote. Women should not be allowed to own property. I am not saying this because I hate women. I am saying this because it's true. I am saying this because women are not biologically designed to think in a logical, rational manner. Let me start over so you can absorb all of this in one burst of glory without my fucking editorializing, and then I will lose my shit, okay? Here we go. A session devoted to the issue of college students abusing ADHD medication discussed a survey that found 30% of collegians had used them without a prescription, a figure that most people would find rather alarming. But one speaker explained that some estimates have been as high as 60%, so the problem really is not so bad. Quote, 70% are not using prescription stimulants, unquote, she reassured the audience. Only at a child psychiatry convention can someone be heartened that only 1 in 3 college kids abuse amphetamines. You see, the fact that 30% of college students are using ADHD medication, even though they don't have ADHD, see, that's wonderful because it means 60% of college students aren't. Okay, for those of you who don't already know this is going, wouldn't it be wonderful to come out and say, gosh, only 30% of women on college campuses are raped? Why, that means 60% of women aren't getting raped. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, this is so what? There's no problem. There is no problem here. There's a whole 60% of women not being raped. This is woman logic. This is why, when I say unto you, women should not be allowed to have jobs, they should not be allowed to own property, and they should not be allowed to vote, I mean that. This is the evidence. I put this to you as the evidence for why I'm saying this. Here's a fucking dumb fucking cunt who cares about children's. She's a child psychiatrist. She cares about children's. Sitting here saying, it's no big deal. There's 60% of college students who aren't doing amphetamines. Oh, glory. And there's no problems. Nothing to see here. Move the fuck along. Moving the fuck along. Page 227. Where are we on time? Fuck. Can I make this? 227. Second full paragraph. Oh, I can do this. All right. A few years ago, Shire's stable of key opinion leaders helped convince the American Psychiatric Association to place a new medical condition, binge eating disorder, into the most recent DSM manual. So the pharmaceutical corporations are telling the American Psychiatric Association what is and isn't a disorder. I wonder if Shire has medication for binge eating disorder. I wonder if that's why they want binge eating disorder to be a fucking disease. The malady is marked by someone eating uncontrollably at least once a week for at least 3 months. Of course, appetite suppression is a long understood effect of all amphetamines, notably Viviasin's direct ancestor Opatrol. So while lobbying the APA and government health officials to create the syndrome, Shire paid university-affiliated doctors to conduct studies to prove the obvious. Kind of like stating the obvious. To prove the obvious that amphetamine would in fact make people eat less. One well-funded researcher nonetheless declared, quote, "We were a bit surprised by how positive these findings were," unquote. It's kind of like he was surprised by how much money showed up in his bank account. Shire, oh, I'm so glad the government is protecting me from this. Oh, I think I'm going to jack off. I'm so excited about the government protecting me from the corporations. God damn it. Shire set up the website bingeatingdisorder.com. God damn it. You fucking morons. Then it convinced the FDA. Remember, because the FDA is there to regulate the corporations. That's what the FDA does. The FDA regulates the corporations to protect you. Shire, the corporation, convinced the FDA, which is regulating the corporation to protect you, to approve Viviasin, or whatever the fuck it's pronounced, which already had almost $1.5 billion in ADHD-related sales in 2014 for Binge Eating 2. Monica Seles, the former tennis star, was one of many women heartened that her overeating had been refined as a medical condition. Yes, see, it's not that I just like to shove food in my mouth because I have no self-control. I have a disease. She immediately hit Dr. Oz, Good Morning America, and the rest of the talk show circuit to describe her own struggles with binge eating disorder. Quote, "It took a while until I felt comfortable talking about it," unquote, Seles told the readers of People magazine. Quote, "That's one of the reasons I decided to do this campaign, to raise awareness that binge eating is a real medical condition," unquote. Must control self. Maybe ranting on the internet, maybe yelling at the internet is a medical condition. Maybe I should get some kind of fucking funding for yelling at the internet. Maybe I'm disabled. Maybe this is a medical condition. People's article did not mention that Monica Seles was a paid spokesperson for Shire Pharmaceutical. It's just a